Let's bring in Joe Siddle. He's our Blue Jays radio analyst and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Joe, we've got to do, thanks for joining us, but we have to do the usual caveats here. It's September. You never fall in love with what you see in September, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. But, man, Richard Urania certainly looks like he's got a knack for something. I don't know what it is yet, but he's got a knack for something, doesn't he?
Well, so far, so good. Absolutely. Richard's taking advantage of this opportunity. I know when we heard that name was being called up, a lot of people were surprised and shocked, and I think he was too. He was heading home for the offseason when he found out he's coming to Toronto instead. So he's taking advantage of an opportunity, and what September does, and you just said, you have to be a very – it has to be guarded optimism. And we say the same thing about spring training when guys have a great spring and, oh, he's got to make the team. We got to keep this guy. He can help them. What it does is it opens eyes. You're playing in front of the big league staff, and that's an important thing. And we say that in spring training too, because kids are over in minor league camp and they come over, but they get a chance to play in front of Gibby and his staff. And when you make those impressions, those are lasting impressions. So what Urania's doing right here in September is taking advantage of this opportunity. Now, will he be in the big leagues next year? Like, he certainly could be at some point. I don't envision him starting with the Blue Jays next season. But what he's doing right now is he's showing that he can handle himself. I thought 2 years ago when we first saw him in spring training, that's when I was really intrigued and impressed with this kid. And then I thought this last spring, to be honest with you, Jeff, I was taken aback a little bit. I thought he took a step back. And you mentioned some of the defensive lapses. Switch hitter is always intriguing. And I've heard some of them talking to him, too, that, you know, being up here in the big leagues, you know, pitchers are around the zone a little bit more. When I look at that game-winning hit last night, I mean, that was a beautiful, beautiful swing. I mean, this is Zach Britton on the mound. He was mm-hmm. a fastball in the inner part of the plate. He kept his hands inside. He didn't try to do too much. He did all those things that you talk about that normally veterans do. A nice short swing, lining that ball into center field. He looked like a veteran that's been around a long time. And, I mean, I know even going back to my days in the minor leagues, and you remember what the Expos, I mean, players seem to spend years at levels, right? You spent a year in the Midwest League, and then you spent a year in the Florida State League. You got to Double A, you spent a year there, and sometimes a second year. Then you go to Triple A, and it was that stepping stone as you moved up to develop. And I think that's how you develop as a hitter, because there are a lot of highs and lows throughout the course of the season. Now, we're seeing guys rushed a little bit more in baseball. I don't think that's going to be the motto of the group in charge right now. I think they're player development people, and I think it's the right thing to do. So I think you've got him. You're getting a nice look at him right now. He would look perfect, I think, in a Buffalo Bisons uniform to start the season next year. However, we know the issues that Troy Tulowitzki has had and what happens at the beginning of the season. I know they're counting on Troy to be 100% healthy, but what is that? And then he's certainly waiting in the wings and ready to fill in if needed.
You know, and aside from Richard Urania, you're absolutely right. I think what he's doing right now is he's positioning himself for a and this is a line Dan Duquette always used to use when he was the Expos general manager, but he's positioning himself for a responsible role with the team next year, isn't he? He's impressed them. He impressed the coaches in spring training. He's impressing people now right in front of them, and that's going to count if you are at AAA. And there's an injury, you know, a lot of people are going to remember what Richard Urania has done.
Yeah, and that's why what he's doing is he is positioning himself for that. If he came up here in September and kind of flopped, then it's like, well, he may be going back to New Hampshire. We'll see about Buffalo. And he's not quite in that major league conversation. He keeps doing this for the rest of September. And again, it's a short stint here. And I think that's why we always have to be cautious about it, because the league does not know him. And when you burst on the scene like this, you know, the scouting reports aren't quite out on you. And I think next year now, already after a full month here, the league will have video. They'll know how to attack him. And then we'll see if he expands the zone, right? And that's what teams may do to him. Right now, he's being very disciplined, but he's squaring balls up and performing admirably. So doing what he needs to do to be on that map, to be up here at some point next year. And that's what you want to do as a young player. You want to impress so that when that conversation takes place at the big league level, your name is at the top.
Now let's talk a little bit as well about Joe Biagini. You want to talk about an outing that provides food for thought for a lot of people. That would pretty much be it. Efficient, at times overpowering, certainly in command, against a pretty good lineup, Joe.
Yeah, and I think the efficiency has a lot to do with the Baltimore Orioles. That's nothing to take away from Joe Biagini, mm-hmm. but what he did, and I think what Luke Maley did behind the plate, it seemed to be the game plan. We have a little home hardware, here's how segment at the beginning of our broadcast. And I talked about Biagini and which Joe Biagini was going to show up tonight, but I thought he could take advantage of that Orioles lineup by being aggressive with them and pounding the zone and using his fastball. And that's what I said, because he's got the pretty high-powered fastball. We saw him out of the bullpen more like 95 consistently. Now we're seeing him more 93-plus. But tremendous movement on the fastball last night. Mm-hmm. And he was using it to both sides of the plate. And a lot of times, Orioles hitters were just going up there hacking and getting themselves out or fouling balls off their foot. I thought it was more movement on his fastball last night than I've seen in the past. And that's a great sign. And when you do that, you can use that two-seam fastball in on righties. And then I thought he used the cutter very effectively, which goes away from righties. So now hitters, as the baseball is coming in, you've got, it might come down and in on you. It might go down and away on you. That's a wonderful thing when it's coming out of the same lane. And I look at Joe, and we know he's a very cerebral guy, and we talk about his delivery. You know, pitching from the windup now, how he gets set on the pitching rubber, gets the sign, and he's got that little knee bend where he kind of shrugs his shoulders. And I think it's a reminder for him that there's a lot going on in his mechanics. We know how much he works on that. And I think a big part of that, he's a big guy. And I mentioned this last night. He's 6'5", 240 pounds. A lot can go wrong for a big guy in your delivery. So he has to work extra hard to stay in line. And I think for him, keeping his weight over that pitching rubber, not jumping out, is a big one. And also pitchers talk about their heads flying open. When your head flies open, everything else flies open. The arm trails and you leave the ball up in the zone. I thought he pounded down. He seemed to really use his leverage last night to work downhill. He just seemed really in sync with his delivery. And that's a huge thing for him, because that helps that movement on the fastball. I have not seen that kind of movement on his fastball in quite some time, probably since his bullpen days, and it paid huge dividends last night.
Barker and I go back and forth about this, and I know you guys do as well on the broadcast, and certainly the guys on the TV side. I mean, we all do whenever we talk about Joe Biagini. But this latest edition of Joe Biagini, not just what we saw last night, but what we've seen in his previous starts. Have you come to a conclusion yet, Joe, what he is and how he best serves this team? Or do you think that maybe we need to see what happens in the offseason a bit before making that conclusion? I mean, first of all, I'll say this. If Aaron Sanchez is healthy, then the entire equation around this pitching staff changes completely.
Well, sure it does. And I started in that conversation as saying Joe Biagini's a reliever. What he did in the bullpen is dominant. It's huge. He can give you more than three outs and all those wonderful things. And I also thought, though, with the four-pitch mix, that's got starting pitcher written all over it. But then we see him move to the rotation. And I think in fairness to Joe, and I said this earlier, is not easy to transition to the rotation during a season. So for me, I think what you have to do with Joe Biagini is, and it's going to depend, sure, on what the Blue Jays do this offseason, but I would love to see him train all winter to be a starting pitcher. That's his mindset. That's his physical goal. And then when he gets to spring training, he's a starting pitcher, and let that go at least. Let him go into April and May and see how things fall. I think you have to explore that if I'm the Blue Jays, because starting pitching, number one, it's not easy to find. Number two, it can be very expensive. You've got a guy that you've got control over here for a few more years, and that's a wonderful thing. So I think you have to explore that first, and then maybe if middle, late May rolls around and it's not working, we're seeing all these inconsistencies, and boom, you put him back to the bullpen. He stays there. But I think you have to explore this. I still think he's going to be more valuable as a reliever. But then again, you watch a game like last night, and I see the movement, and I see the ball's moving in two directions and getting a lot of weak contact. It's pretty intriguing, but I think being careful not to change your mind every time he pitches. And that's why I think he needs a full load of the full offseason, all of spring training to train and be a starting pitcher. This has not been easy. I don't think it is easy for anyone to try to transition like this during the season. So I think in fairness to him, let him train and do that, and then all spring training and enter the season before that final decision is made.
Marcus Stroman gets a start tonight against Kevin Gausman as the series wraps up. It really is strange how it comes down to these two teams all the time, doesn't it? It really does. If the Orioles lose tonight, they're not mathematically out of it, but the hill gets a lot steeper to climb based on what's happened in this series and what happened in the series before with the Orioles. But I've got to think, Joe, that Marcus Stroman would have loved to have his best outing of the year tonight.
I know you'd love him, too.
I sure would. I think we all would, wouldn't we? Come on.
Yeah. Well, it is so interesting, too, because I thought the Orioles were coming on hard, and Gausman's been pitching well, and Bundy's been pitching well, and these guys, we know their starting pitching has been a disaster. The bullpen's very good, but it looked like maybe they were rectifying some things because you know the lineup's going to score runs, but then all of a sudden the lineup goes quiet. And I know they just came from Cleveland, where most lineups are pretty quiet against the Cleveland Indians staff, but that Jay Hatt or Joe Biagini did it last night, and Mark Estrada did it on Monday, and I just silenced them. So it'll be up to Stroman to do the same, and you have to almost expect that, don't you? I mean, Marcus has kind of got that dominant type stuff, and the way he can manipulate the baseball, I think he should be able to take advantage of this Orioles lineup as well, so it looks good in that regard.